We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
That's what you have with a lot going on today. David Dusek will tell us what's happening at the Open Championship, also known as the British Open. We used to call it the British Open back in the day.
And it's the Open now.
Referred to as the Open Championship. So that'll be at 9:40. Rich Campbell on the Bears at 10. Midday Midway at 11. Samantha Pell of the Washington Post at 11:40. Sometime in the noon hour, we are going to carry the Bears press coverage. One of those rare times when Ryan Pace makes himself available to reporters in his role as the Bears general manager. So we look forward to hearing what he has to say at the outset of camp. And giveaways. We have three chances for you to win $1,000. There will be $3,000 given away as a part of this show today. It's just a text keyword. It's that simple, but you got to be listening for the keyword for your opportunity to win. We also have a pair of tickets to our Cubs on Deck luncheon with All-Star catcher Wilson Contreras and pitcher Mike Montgomery. That is July 23rd at the Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern.
That's Monday.
Brought to you by Xfinity and AZEK Building Products. If you want to buy tickets, you go to 670thescore.com/on deck. But we have a pair that we're going to give away today. 312-644-6767 is the phone number at WSCR The Score. You email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live streaming, 670thescore.com. Texting, sexting, 67011. When you text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter at Bernstein underscore MCK. He is at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan underscore Bernstein. Go ahead and jump on Facebook and like the 670 The Score page and be part of all of the conversation and interaction there. Also, Facebook Live and watch 670thescore.com. That's where you find our video feed that's directed by Brian Gertz.
The Hello.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, producers are Jay Zawoski.
Where's Fred?
We leave him?
What's that?
No, we're just waiting on Fred.
Fred? Where are you, Fred? Fred!
Made a back cut there and headed to the dais.
We had a texter yesterday saying that Fred had to talk him off the roof. He was getting ready to jump, and then
Jabari told him what he told us about defense.
Well, they talked him back down, and then when he heard what Jabari said, he went back up on the roof. Well, that's it,
Fred.
That's enough. Life's not worth living.
Come back, Fred.
On the board, Rick Camp.
Did you get a lot of Bulls fans in your room?
Oh yeah, I did a lot.
Do you remember the Jordan years, or was it after that when we were bad there for a while?
So I was younger too, so my brother used to take all the tickets.
that's what now we can start.
Would you get a lot of Derek too?
I went to a lot of Derek too, yeah.
Okay, great. First of all,
I went to a lot of Derek games.
Oh, okay, great. Jordan years, or was it after that when we were bad there for a while?
We were bad there for a while. Yes, you were. And in the back, doing the things that only he can do, the executioner Ray Diaz.
Well, I'm feeling kind of old because, I used to watch your dad play. I grew up in the Bay Area, and we were kidding about it earlier. He was a heck of a player. Anyway.
Okay, enough of that now.
That did not break the ice the way I'd hoped. I thought at least nervous laughter from the crowd would be sufficient to get things going.
What the hell is going on at WFAN?
Everything, apparently. Everything.
And look, as a longtime midday host of this company, when do I get the orgies and the hookers?
You know, that was part of the conversation that I had with management
the
on the way in here.
And I'm they doing said, this all wrong.
They said one or the other.
That's him. Did you? The New York Post their top story today is apparently their midday host Joe Bonino. I think Speaks used to do an impersonation of him. Right, this is an absolute disgrace.
That's him.
Yeah, this is amazing. That they said there's a shocking lawsuit that's been filed by a former ad exec of the company, who says that host Joe Bonino pressured her into having a threesome and whispered in her ear about having a threesome with him and his wife and prostitutes.
It's not.
And they showed a bunch of pictures and What am I doing wrong here?
All of it in the mid. Maybe you don't take enough pictures.
Is that what it is?
You need to take more pictures?
I guess. All I have are pictures of fish.
Here's what it could be. Apparently.
I could go to salespeople and solicit a, would you like to have a threesome with this 11-inch rock bass?
That does not start the conversation the way you'd hope.
Yeah, I'm just.
It's actually a rock bass.
I got a. What do you like this perch?
Oh, yeah. No, that's a hell of a perch, Dan.
I'm doing it wrong.
Yeah, you are. You're doing it all wrong.
Yeah, I've got a picture of my target, my 31 out of 50. Does that turn you on?
31 out of 50? No, talk to me when you're 40.
Okay.
Talk to me when it gets to 40.
I knock out a 40 and then I'm
starting. Stop soliciting me with all these illicit photos on your phone.
Yeah. I had a really nice sandwich. That do it for you? There's a picture.
How about this? How about a picture with a giant statue of Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox?
I mean,
what do you think?
It's a threesome in and of itself.
I was
going
to say.
Look at that.
We got a threesome going here with a Paul Bunyan statue.
Also, you're showing them to me. Why are you showing me these photos?
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't care.
What the hell? This is unrelated. Drinking at 10 a.m.?
Well, yeah, if you don't start early, you can't get it done all day.
Say a Mad Men-like environment where male executives' affairs with subordinates were tolerated?
Here's the interesting one. Apparently, the drink of choice was a pickleback shot. Have you heard of a pickleback shot?
And members of pickleback? No, I have not heard of
it. It's whiskey, and then it's a shot of whiskey, and then you follow it up with pickle juice.
I love pickle juice.
Yeah, so you've not had
pickle
one?
Pickle juice.
It's a favorite drink of a lot of bartenders. When I was working at the bar, apparently—
Your first job out of college?
It was fifth.
Okay.
Fifth. Apparently, if you're not supposed to be drinking at the bar, this is also explained to me by bartenders. If you're not supposed to be drinking on the job,
okay,
you fire down a shot of whiskey with a shot of pickle juice, and that kind of kills the alcohol scent at least a little bit. You know, that saltiness kind of gets rid. Some people like the actual taste of it, but it's more an operational shot than it is an enjoyable thing. It's more of a here's how you get this done while still getting the work done through the midday.
So it just kills like your breath, or
kind
of,
yeah.
Okay, so
and it takes the taste of the whiskey out of your mouth too, in case you're, looking to.
Yeah, I like the taste.
Yeah, that's what I'm here for. Give me the warm Jameson and let me fire
Although,
that down.
I will. I do enjoy Clausen and only Clausen pickle juice.
Well, obviously Clausen. Yeah, the dill stuff.
As long
right?
as it's not throwing a pass.
Not Jimmy Clausen, but it's spelled. That's the Clausen pickles 1S, right? Clausen, I believe. But yeah, and just so even when we're out of pickles. I keep the jar in the fridge.
Of course.
Because you never, nice cold swig of pickle juice.
As a single, all through my 20s, the only things I ever always had in the fridge, a couple of different kinds of hot sauce, mustard, and a jar of pickles.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some eggs. That was it. It's always you have that in the fridge.
I would add one thing to that. I would add a minimum of a third of a pound of sliced Eckrich hard salami.
Salami? No, it's usually lunch meat in the fridge.
But just Eckrich hard salami.
Usually old
lasts
meat.
Forever. It's completely inexpensive.
Man, I should have gone for that. But then I need some cheese. Then I'm gonna have to look for some cheese.
Well, you could have.
Well, just me. I'm gonna need some. You know, if my whiskey needs pickle juice, the salami.
But that's really all you need.
For me,
I mean, even if you're sailing the seas,
got me through 10 years.
No, think about it though. I mean, you're not gonna get scurvy if you have. If you've got your pickles and your pickle juice,
wards off scurvy.
I think so. If sauerkraut does.
Citric stuff. No?
I want to say there is citric acid.
Well, I've never had scurvy, so obviously the pickle juice is working just fine.
Again, it's
ipso facto, pickle juice works.
There you go. Or it's post hoc ergo propter hoc fallacy.
No.
But yeah, that was the story that I woke up to today was WFAN and their midday guy. And, I just maybe I didn't get the it's like knowing the secret menu at In-N-Out or something,
yeah.
Or knowing what's or ordering the McGangbang or something like that. And so,
the
like,
what?
The McDonald's, like,
something. Oh, is that the everything sandwich?
Yeah, you can order it in some places. And I guess I didn't know all the secret code words to get the hookers and the threesomes. I don't know. Well, it's too late in my life.
Yeah, it is.
Although
yeah,
Joe Bonino, what is he, like mid-60s?
Yeah, but he's been doing it for a while. He's carrying momentum through this.
He has threesome momentum.
He's inertia is right. Just carrying him through all of these antiquated and terrible deeds.
Right, all of this.
Completely alleged by the New York Post.
Alleged, well, by the
detailed
lawsuit.
Detailed and salacious man.
This segment brought to you by Shell. Get triple action protection for optimal engine performance with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. And if you, what?
Good text. What? From the 515, if it's just an operational shot, we probably can't call it a Joakim Noah. It's fantastic.
Yeah, Bernstein and McKnight brought to you by Northwestern football coach Fitz and the Music City Bowl champs. Host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, and more this fall at Ryan Field. Season and single game tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. I had one of those moments when I realized I'm ready for football. You don't really think about it. It's just a matter of kind of feeling it.
Was there a thing that gives the last 3 days?
Back to Benigno.
I've gotten up and out the door. And it had that kind of crispish feel in the air, that little bit of breeze that cuts through the autumn, you know, kind of heat that feels like college football. It's felt kind of like a college football morning.
Yeah,
each of the last three.
Yeah, you get a little bit of that, and it's just for whatever reason, I'm ready for that texture in my sports life. You know, baseball is great, and we got plenty of baseball left. We had our little bit of soccer in there. We could pretend to be interested.
I was actually somewhat interested, but there was no bite and hold tactic. You know, I mean, I was there. I've watched it, and I'll see you in 4 years.
Yeah, I'm always there to enjoy it for what it is, because there's some great athletes, some really fast guys, and some fun guys to watch. And I like watching Raheem Sterling and Mbappe and all of that. But I need big fast guys running into each other at high speeds and destroying each other for my amusement.
Even though we do have some baseball of consequence coming to us this evening?
I guess, although I don't think the Cardinals are consequential. I mean, the Cubs are consequential. The Cardinals are not.
The games of themselves are consequential, though. I would argue this. You mentioned this in just after the pre-show meeting or something, that Cardinals team is a dead one and it's not. I think really some anticipation or anxiety about that series, about eight and 12 days, I think it is, 5 and 4 days to start out at this All-Star break with a doubleheader. It's more indicative of the question marks around the Cubs that still exist than it is any life left in the Cardinals, isn't it? I mean, mm-hmm. The fact remains that these are divisional teams, one of them who is, I don't know, you can define shouting distance in a couple different ways if you want to, but within some sort of shouting distance of the first place club in the Cubs, and with a fired manager and maybe some sort of bounce, I mean, there exists the possibility that this matchup is a consequential one. And more of that has to do with the Cubs themselves than it does the Cardinals, I think.
Maybe the Cardinals get their fire the manager bump, like you say.
You usually get one.
Do you?
Yeah, there's evidence that, if nothing else, for a dead cap bounce, read mostly about hitting coaches. Hitting coaches get fired in this league, and offenses in general see a bounce back in production from a fairly marginal level but meaningful one. But usually what that is hitting coaches get fired when you've got an offense that's expected to be good and isn't.
And then,
so then
it
you
just,
fire the
so,
hitting coach.
So you fire the hitting coach, and then you make it natural regression
usually,
of your offense that was supposed to be good just ends up being good.
That's kind of the argument.
Well, they had to hear a different voice. No, maybe they just had to regress to the mean.
Kind of just had to take more cuts and get out there and swing. The problem with that Cardinals offense, or a problem with it outside of Dexter Fowler, has been Marcell Ozuna, too. I mean, you made that trade to get a guy that you thought would float you past not having Giancarlo Stanton in the trade. You thought you'd get Marcell Ozuna and even that thing out. It has not been that case.
The 847 texter writes, I've been listening to and complaining about Dan Bernstein for 20 years. But the more I hear him say stuff like drinking pickle juice, I realize we're the same. I didn't know that was going to be the uniting factor there. I didn't know that would galvanize our relationship.
That's really what's been missing in your 25-year career, right? It's not the threesomes. It's not the showing pictures of your fish to people in sales. It's the you should have brought up the fact that you kick back to a jar of pickle juice every Saturday morning when you sit down and watch your college football.
And the starting drinking around 10 a.m. I mean, this is like Jimmy Johnson Cowboys stuff going on over there. They compare it to Mad Men, but that's the stories I used to hear about the Jimmy Johnson to Barry Switzer, that the hallways in that building back in the day, you know, 11 o'clock, and they're into the chilled vodka shots.
Yeah, I feel like in those days, though, the reason you haven't heard it from other teams is just because nobody said it out loud yet.
No, a certain
give it time.
Certain former Bears coach was telling me about his stories as a young assistant in Pittsburgh under Chuck Knoll.
Hmm.
And game day.
Sure.
You never know. He said that on game day, early, they'd start in.
Doesn't surprise me.
Doesn't
surprise me.
It shouldn't. But yeah, hey, if pickle juice is what unites us, you and the 847, then
lift that banner.
Yes, then pick up that big jar and have a drink on me. We are going to talk to David Dusek and get the latest on what is happening at Carnoustie. Tiger Woods getting set to tee off under partly cloudy skies in Scotland. We'll check the leaderboard and we'll get his take on it, get you fully up to speed on what's going on. The Bernstein and McKnight Show on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
That's Tommy Fleetwood talking about the unique difficulty of the Open Championship at Carnoustie. Kevin Kisner, your leader right now. He is 5 under. There is a group of 3, Van Ryan, Finau, and Lombard at 4 under. And here to talk all about that is David Dusek. He's presented by the Grand Geneva Resort and Spa. Play Championship Golf in Lake Geneva. Visit GrandGenevaGolf.com. Golf Week's David Dusek is on Twitter at golfweek_Dusek. And this is shaping up to be a pretty fun weekend here, watching some of the role that these guys are getting on these baked-out fairways, David.
Yeah, it sure is. I mean, this is a different kind of golf than you know, as the lead in there was saying, than what we're used to seeing on the PGA Tour and at week-to-week PGA Tour events, and really even European Tour events. This is a different kind of a deal, and it takes a different skill set to really master it. If you're going to try and hit the ball high up in the air and drop it down like a feather, that's probably not going to work. The course, Carnoustie Golf Links, as people are going to be able to see on TV, is totally baked out. It looks like they're playing on toast, basically. The greens get water. The tee boxes get watered. The rest of the course does not, and it's been especially dry and warm by Scottish standards, and so everything is just fried out and brown, and the ball rolls for miles, and trying to judge exactly where you need to land it and how much roll you're going to get after it lands is really, really difficult for these guys.
A lot of people, David, who tune in kind of just for the majors like this and perhaps tune in just on a Sunday are going to look at this course and wonder why that's the case. I mean, what kind of, logistically speaking, why has that course decided to not water or water, and what are they actually able to do? I mean, it seems like they've put up the best effort they can against this baked-out weather, but still, golfers are going to have to fight this.
Actually, just the opposite. They never, at this golf course, at Carnoustie Golf Links, there is no irrigation system installed that would even water this. This is golf the way that they sort of see it's meant to be. If you get a cold, wet spring and summer, then and the Open Championship or tournament golf is played there, then that's what you get. If Mother Nature decides it's not going to, you know, provide a lot of moisture and it's going to be warmer and it's going to bake out, then that's what they do. It's an au naturel kind of a deal. They do have irrigation systems, and they do water the greens. They want them to be fair. And the teeing ground, where you actually peg it up, that gets a little bit of water. They have an irrigation system there. But the players have to adapt, and that's just a different way of looking at the way that they see golf as being meant to be played, as opposed to, not better or worse judging here, Augusta National, where everything is this lush, deep green, everything is manicured, you know, within an inch of its life. This is just the opposite. This is what is typically knee-high and above fescue that this year is just baked out like hay. And so the rough really isn't as penal and as difficult to play from as it sometimes is. But at the same time, if you miss the fairway, you're not going to be able to spin the ball quite as well. And you've also got what I think are the most challenging hazards to play from in golf, which are the pot bunkers that you get on these things. Imagine taking a 20-foot-wide biscuit cutter and just taking enormous circle cuts right out in the worst places possible, all along the fairways and around the greens. And the really tricky thing is because your ball is going to roll so much, you have to judge how if you're going to roll in towards these things. And usually within about 5 to 10 feet of all those pot bunkers, the fairways sort of tilt towards them. So they funnel and feed into the pots. And you can't, if you're depending on where you are, you can't play forward. A lot of times you can't even play backwards. You have to play out to the sides at 90 degrees towards, you know, you're dictated by where you can go, by how tall that is and where you are in relation to the walls of it. It's a brutal, brutal miss to land in a pot bunker, and it's one of the big defenses this course has.
Oh, that all sounds ludicrously challenging. Tiger Woods has made a comment about the slower greens here, or I don't know Put that in perspective for us. Is that slower greens than he's used to? How did he mean those comments heading into this tournament? He's got a point on the board. He's one under already. But is he just saying slower greens for him are bad, or that these greens themselves are slower than they ought?
These greens are probably the slowest greens that anybody who plays PGA Tour golf is going to see all season. And the reason for that is that typically they're playing right on the North Sea. If you go left off of the first tee by about 200 yards, you're wet and into the North Sea, and the next stop is going to probably be Norway or Sweden. So because of that, because the wind typically is very blustery, you have to have slower greens on links golf courses, because if you had fast greens, like we're used to seeing on tour, greens that run on what's called a stimp meter at like 11 or a 12, or more like 12 or 13, the really fast stuff, the balls would literally get blown right off the greens. There is wind that's expected to come in later on Thursday afternoon, and weather is supposed to come in on Friday, rain, potentially heavier winds. And if you literally cannot have balls on fast greens there getting blown right off the putting surface. Wouldn't be fair. So usually the slowest greens we see all season are at the British Open.
I always hear these guys at this level talking about their game, especially in majors, in ways that that recreational golfers often can't, and that is knowing where to miss.
Mm-hmm.
And Tiger's great at talking about that, too, that in their practice rounds, they determine, based on pin placement, where it's okay to miss, where they can be imperfect.
Right.
But with everything you describe, how does that affect the calculus of this course with what you're saying about how far certain things can go, about being that difficult to calculate distances? Where do you miss?
Well, the first thing is you never miss in a pot bunker if you can help it. I mean, that's sort of number one. Number two, if you miss a shot, let's say that ideally there's a bunker between you and the hole, and if you miss, you want to miss to a side that's going to avoid that bunker, and it's going to leave you room to either, assuming we're hitting into a green cut, someplace where you've got some room to chip or to pitch it or to putt it. You don't want to miss what's called short-sided onto a hillside or onto the side that it's close to the pin, unless you're putting, because then you have very few options. Usually the greens are going to be running away from you. If you're up on a hillside and the green is below you, it's hard to stop the ball. It's much easier, the guys will find, to hit up, rolling the ball up the hill rather than stopping it going down a hill. So they're going to look at every one of these holes in relation to where are the hazards, where's the wind blowing, and where is the hole location. And based on those three factors, it determines where is, if I'm not going to hit a good shot and I miss hit the ball, or I get something that's sort of kind of quirky that happens and I wasn't anticipating it, the worst case scenario, I want it over here because I can at least, you know, maybe make a par or a bogey. If I miss it into a pot bunker, it could be a triple. If I miss it up on a hillside into some rough, it could be a double. You want to just minimize the damage with your miss.
So, David, who do you think is getting the, or maybe it's too early to tell in this tournament since the conditions are what they are, but who's getting the bigger bump here? Golfers who are long off the tee and clubbing down, or guys who are like a Zach Johnson, not that long off the tee and getting the extra distance because of what we're looking at?
It's a good question. I think that you can make an argument both ways that, you know, guys who hit the ball big are taking shorter clubs and therefore should be an advantage. Guys who don't have a lot of power, don't hit it, you know, Dustin Johnson kind of distance, they're actually getting that kind of distance this week if they judge it well, because they're going to get the roll. I think, you know, looking at the leaderboard, we're actually getting a mix. It can work both ways, and not to evade the question, but it comes down to execution. And if you get a big hitter like Tony Finau, who hits the right shots with the appropriate clubs, he's going to score really well. Kevin Kisner, who goes out and shoots 66, proved at least in relatively benign conditions that while he may not be long by PGA Tour standards, he's certainly long enough on a links course, and he putted absolutely lights out. So he came up with a recipe. It wasn't that long ago. It was 2009. A 59-year-old Tom Watson, who could barely hit it out of his own shadow, was almost able to win an Open Championship. He ended up losing at Troon in a playoff to Stuart Sink. So I don't think you have to be long to be successful on a links golf course. I think it can make up for that. But a long hitter playing well always has a great advantage.
Does that open it up for some of the old guys? because remember Tom Watson from years ago making that run and how exciting that was. Does a Lee Westwood or Bernard Langer or somebody who might just have a good few days of ball striking have a chance now?
It's possible. I think it's more of a romantic story that maybe we root for than a reality. Okay. I think that Bernard Langer plays a lot of tournament golf. He owns the Champions Tour, basically. The guy's just been a machine out there for almost a decade. But at age 60, I think it's more of a, wouldn't it be great if we get to write that story and talk about that for a day or two? I think looking at, you know, guys that are out there on the European Tour, out there on the PGA Tour, I think they just have so many things going for them that unless everything possible goes right, and it nearly did for Watson back in 2009, those are going to be the guys who are going to win. The players who are able to handle and cope with the conditions the best, who have just simply more weapons, more tools at their disposal than a player at this point like Bernhard Langer is really going to have at his.
Looking up at the scoreboard, and you mentioned Tony Finau already. I mean, he's played some pretty decent golf, at least in big-time tournaments, played the Masters on one leg, for God's sake. It was pretty impressive there. What is he ascending? Like, what's the little thumbnail on Tony Finau for those who are, you know, tuning in Saturdays and Sundays?
Yeah, if you don't follow golf week in and week out, you may be sort of seeing Tony for the first time, although he was in the last group with Daniel Berger at the U.S. Open at Shinnecock. I mean, you mentioned his amazing performance at the Masters. I mean, I think it was a dislocated ankle, left ankle, you know, sort of celebrating a hole-in-one during the par 3 contest on the Wednesday before the Masters. He still went out, played great. He is, interestingly enough, cousins with Jabari Parker, and he is a tremendous athlete, hits the ball miles, and is basically just coming to grips with the fact that he is as good as everybody else out here. I think that for a little while, Tony got out on tour, and I'm not going to say it was a little bit like deer in the headlights. Everybody saw the natural talent. Everybody saw that he's a super, super nice guy. But I think it just took him a couple of years to sort of figure out where his place in the golfing world was. And really, I think it's amongst the elite players. He has every shot in the book. He just needs to break through. He's basically a complete guy. A lot of people are going to say, oh, he just hits it really far, and that's true. He's a better putter than people give him credit for. He's a better iron player than people give him credit for. He just needs to notch a couple more wins and get the confidence going, and then I think he's going to be out there being very successful for a long, long time.
And much like his second cousin also says he's not paid to play defense.
Well, yes, he's not going to take a charge, but he will go for the highlight dunk, no doubt.
All right, who's your sleeper now? I mean, I know that it's already started and there's some names on the board, but you've had a pretty good track record of finding some guys in these amazingly competitive fields who you just think are a good fit for a certain course at a certain time.
I think, and he's not a household name, and I'm not really going out on a limb if you follow week to week, but I think Francesco Molinari, having just won a PGA Tour event in a runaway a couple weeks ago, having won on the European Tour, he is a ball-striking machine, and he has been basically riding a hot putter for about the last month and a half to 2 months, and I really believe that the Italian is destined to win something kind of big here pretty soon, and this one would sort of fit in. You have to keep the ball in the fairway here. You have to play with precision. And I think he's got so much confidence right now that getting away from some of the big names like Justin Thomas and Dustin Johnson and Roy McIlroy and those guys that everybody sort of knows all the time, keep your eye on Francesco Molinari.
There you have it. You always give us good tips, David Dusek, and we appreciate you joining us again, man.
Thanks a lot, guys.
David Dusek, brought to you by Walgreens. Walgreens is here for all your diabetes needs. Stop by today to consult with your pharmacist and get trusted advice and tips about your diabetes medications and testing supplies. It looked like Tiger Woods had a good shot at birdie on 2, and it ended up just a couple inches right of the hole, so he was in for a par, but he looks like he's pretty much in command of his game early.
Yeah, watching the last couple of minutes, there's been a lot of putts that have just kind of lipped out. Slow greens, maybe creeping up on a couple of players.
Yeah, guys still trying to calibrate how hard to hit it, how hard not to hit it. Yeah, Zach Johnson missed a puppy earlier. We're going to talk some football next. It's football season. The Bears are in camp. A little bit later on in the show, we expect to be carrying the Ryan Pace press conference live sometime in the noon hour. But Rich Campbell joins us next. So keep it here. You got the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.